Well, I see a theme here. Last week, I guess I cried a little too much. Y'all left a box up here for me, and then I got a little present so I can have it in my pocket at all times. So my apologies if my snot creeped you out, okay? Well, welcome. We are continuing our series called Sabbath, a Holy Day, where we're talking and learning about how to rest in God, right? How to rest in His promise, how to rest in His provision, how to rest in His truth and His faithfulness. And today, we're going to be talking about resting in His goodness. But before we get into that, I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever asked for something or asked for something really for yourself, like for someone else, but really for yourself? Like I've done that. So Prime Days was like last week, right? And there's this awesome frame TV. It's a Samsung. It's awesome. So it's like a TV put on the wall and it looks like a picture frame. You can put pictures on it, right? And so like I was like, Morgan, we just moved our TV from our living room to the playroom. Just made it easier so Cruz could eat in his table instead of eating on the couch. Anyway, so we moved the TV to our playroom, and so now our fireplace living room doesn't have a TV. And I was like, babe, there's this awesome TV. It's a picture frame. One, it's good for the whole family, right? Really for me. But it's good for the whole family, like in case, you know, they want to watch a movie, me and you can just watch a show right here. Or for entertaining, hey, the kids can be over there, we can be over here. Or when it's wintertime and we put a fire on, we can watch in a nice warm room instead of a nice cold room. And so, you know, just saying, this is for the family. This is not just for me, right? Like, this is for the whole family. So, like, it's awesome. So I'm just explaining to her. It's like, it's super flat, so you can put it on your wall. It looks like a picture frame. And she's like, so, I actually found a TV, too. I was like, oh, huh, oh, really? Okay. She's like, well, how much was yours? I was like, well, let's see how much yours was, and we'll see how far it goes, right? And so she's like, yeah, mine was like 200. It's 55-inch. You know, it's one of those not-name brands, right? Not to knock the non-name brands, okay? Just saying. Just like, oh. She's like, how much was yours? I was like, well, it depends. If you want a 47-inch or a 55-inch, you know, like it's just a little, you know, it's a little off. She's like, well, how much was yours? I was like, well, with Prime, it's, you know, 30% off, so it's really a great deal, right? It's like $300 off. She's like, well, how much is it? And I'm like, oh, it's about $1,000. And she's like, oh, no, we're not doing that. I was like, okay. We've all been there, right? We've all asked for something, for someone. Really asking for yourself. Another example is when we go to Chick-fil-A. We were driving through the drive-thru, and this is back when Chick-fil-A offered two options for kids' meals, right? Like the four-piece and the six-piece. Now they just do a five-piece, which is kind of good, right, I guess. But anyway, so we would drive up, and I was like, oh, Cruz, how hungry are you? She's like, oh, I'm pretty hungry. I'm like, okay. Usually he eats like three, all right? So there's three or four. Sometimes he'll eat the four. Sometimes he'll just eat three. So I was like, well, you know, you seem really hungry right now, so we'll give you six. Really, in the back of my mind, once I know he's only going to eat three or four, there's two left over. Guess who gets the other two, right? So I get that. So we all do it, whether small or big. I did it with Cruz again. Cruz is getting me in trouble. I bought him these awesome Jordans. They're called the Concords, the 45s. Oh, beautiful. We're going to reveal his gender to everybody, and we're like, boom, look at these cool shoes he got. The reason why I got him those shoes, so that I could match him, right? So I didn't buy my shoes yet, but I was just like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if me and Cruz matched? She's like, yeah, of course. How much does they cost? I was like, well, you know, usually, you know, like there's a sneaker app and you can get them for retail, $200. Sorry. or off, not retail, because people just, you know, trying to get a dollar here, you know, hustling. Their side hustle, they sell the shoes and they're going for like $500. Oh, yeah, there you go. Needless to say, I never got the shoes. So we all do that, right? We ask for something, really asking for ourselves sometimes. No matter what, there's a little selfishness in us, right? And it's not always bad, right? It's, you know, the chicken nuggets, not that bad, right? I just get two chicken nuggets for myself, right? So this is why I'm sharing this with you, because I saw a couple posts, and then I've seen on TV and had somebody reach out to me and said, prayer and thoughts are not enough. And that's what our world is saying now. You can go to CNN and write prayers and thoughts, and they'll have a whole article of why prayers and thoughts has been now made a meme and made fun of. And why the generation after me in high school and middle school and even in college, they're saying prayer and thoughts are not enough. I think we've taught our kids, hey, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. But we've taught them to ask for the wrong things. We taught them to seek the wrong things. We taught them to knock on the wrong doors. And this morning, I just wanted for all of us to be reminded why we ask and who we ask for, right? And so in Matthew 7, 7 through 8, it says this, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. We share this scripture to everybody. This is why you should believe in Jesus, because when you ask, you'll receive. When you seek, you will find. When you knock, the door will be open. And that's great, and that's good. But there are a lot of times when we ask for something, we don't receive. There are many of times when we seek something, we don't find. And when we knock, the door isn't open, right? There are times in our lives where we're asking God for a good thing. We're asking for healing. We're asking for a miracle. We're asking, we're asking, we're asking. And these kids are learning and they're asking, oh God, please don't let my parents get divorced. Oh God, please don't let this picture go viral. It was a mistake. Oh God, please don't let my sin come out. God, please, please, please. We're asking and yet we don't receive. Or we seek and we're like seeking for God, and God, just show me a sign. Show me your glory. Show me that you are good. Show me just something. We don't find. Or we're knocking and kids are knocking. God, I don't want to deal with this depression or anxiety. And we're knocking. God, I don't want to deal with this divorce. Or God, I don't want to deal with this job. I don't want to deal with these finances. Knock, 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 and the door isn't open. And we ask ourselves, why are people leaving the church? And we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, how are we sharing the gospel? How are we speaking truth? Because if we say, ask and you will receive, and knock and you will, the door will be open, and seek and you will find, where are we having a disconnect with the generation after us and with the world? Because they're saying prayers and thoughts are no longer necessary. And what I wanted us to see today is we've been asking for the wrong thing. When we ask, we got to ask for Jesus. When we ask for Jesus to receive the goodness of God. Now, let me explain it to you, because if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right, and we believe that he is good, and we believe he's a good shepherd, and we believe all these things, if we ask for Jesus, then what will we receive? God himself. If we ask for Jesus, then we receive Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's grace. Who is Jesus? He is mercy. Who is Jesus? He is truth. Who is Jesus? He's the good shepherd. Who is Jesus? He has all authority. Who is Jesus? He's all powerful. He's all knowing. Who is Jesus? He is God himself. If we ask for Jesus, we receive all of Jesus. But we have to believe in Jesus. We have to believe that he is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all-merciful. He is all-gracious. He is God himself. And we have been telling people, just ask and you'll receive. Ask for $1 million and you shall receive. Right? No. And we have to look at Jesus. Jesus said this later on in Matthew 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, right? Matthew's telling us that Jesus said this. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what should a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What are you asking for? And who are you asking for? Are you asking to receive God into your life? In every aspect of your life? Or are you just asking him for all the good parts? Because that's what we seem to be teaching sometimes. Oh man, God is so good. Once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, once you receive his goodness, man, life is going to be good. Did you check Matthew 16? If those who would come to me would have to deny themselves and carry a cross and follow me. See, the good news of the gospel is that we would get rid of this selfishness self, right? Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, man, you look good? I know I have, right? Like, I'm like, whoo! Every time I'm like, and then I see it, I'm like, oh, my hair's going away. I'm getting older. Sorry for those of you who have already lost your hair. But then there are times where you look at it in the mirror and you're like, gosh, you're disgusted. Because you see you. You see the real you, the broken you, the hurt you. And when we follow Jesus, we deny that brokenness, that selfishness, right? Because Morgan would tell you there are times where the real me, it's not that nice. I can be a jerk, right? It's not good. And Jesus says, hey, if you want me, I have to deny myself. And so as we tell people about the goodness of God, we have to remind them, it's not just, hey, yes, God will give you everything, grace, mercy, freedom, power, authority, strength, and courage. He will give you everything. But you have to deny yourself and carry your cross. And we have to understand that when we deny ourselves, we are asking for God. We are asking for Jesus. There are moments in when Morgan and I have a conversation, right? We're fighting. And, you know, she'll tell you, like, when we first got married, we were learning how to fight, right? You got to learn how to fight. So there was this moment where she found out, like, Hispanic people are really loud, right? And, like, I learned that from my mom. And so, like, whenever we got into an argument and we fight, like, Hispanic people, it's like, you better watch out! Like, we go from here to here in, like, 2.5 seconds. And the louder that you talk, the more you're going to win. Because you're, like, out-voicing that person. You're like, you know why you can't say that? But even though you're in the wrong, you're as loud as can be. And the other person's just like, if they don't get as loud as you, they lose. Right, like you just win the fight. You would be completely wrong. But you just got so much louder, you won the fight. And so that's what I learned. Like, I was like, okay, all I had to do is get louder than Morgan. If you know Morgan, she's very quiet and she doesn't like confrontation. And so, I mean, I could be like, she said, you should have cleaned the bathroom or you should have done this. And she would have been absolutely right. But if I would have been like, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she'd just be like, and I'll win the fight. And she'd be like, I'm sorry. I'm like, that's right. But then I had to learn. She had to tell me, like, hey, when you get loud, I shut down. Okay, that makes sense. And so I went the opposite way, right? So I was like, okay, can't get loud, just stay quiet. So I stayed quiet and I gave her the cold shoulder. I was like, I can be quiet. Don't worry about that, right? Like, I can be mad. I can stay quiet. I don't have to yell. I could just give you the cold shoulder. Again, she's like, now you got to talk to me. I'm like, woman, pick up your mind. Like, loud or quiet, right? She's like, in the middle. I was like, okay, cool. Right? And so the point of that is our marriage is going to work if I deny myself. Same here. Our marriage is going to work if she denies herself. Our relationship with God only works if we deny ourselves. If we deny ourselves, then we can ask for anything, right? Maybe, right? Paul, y'all know Paul, wrote most of the New Testament. Guy was awesome, right? Yet he had a thorn in his side. And, you know, scholars say it was a temptation that he couldn't get rid of or whatever. You can read it on your own. You can make your own decision. But there was something about this thorn on his side that he wanted God to take away. And he asked, God, can you take this thorn from me? Now, this is Paul. This is the man that's been shipwrecked. This is the one that's going to prison. This is the man that's preaching the gospel and getting stoned for preaching about Jesus. So if anybody deserved his answer prayer, it's probably Paul, right? Because he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And yet Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. And he leaves the thorn there. Ask and you shall receive. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. If you ask for me, I have enough grace. If you ask for me, I'll give you enough strength. I'll give you courage. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you comfort. If you ask for Jesus, his goodness will cover you. When you ask for Jesus, in all circumstances, we need to ask for Jesus in all circumstances because we will receive Jesus. He's never denied himself if you ask for him. So when you ask for him, guess what you get? You get holiness. Guess what you get? Righteousness, peace, comfort, joy, strength, courage. You get all these things because you're asking for Jesus. But you have to believe that Jesus is all you need. And if you don't believe that, then you won't receive that. And as you ask, you begin to learn to seek for Jesus, right? Continued on and we're just going to read it again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Seek Jesus and find the goodness of God. When we seek Jesus, we see that he's been seeking us the whole time. You see, when we ask for him, we know what to seek for. When we ask for Jesus, we know what to seek for. And who's that? Him. Because we are wanderers. We like to go our own way. We like to do our own thing. We've been told, hey, you do you. You work hard. You dedicate yourself. You're disciplined enough. Then all your dreams will come true, right? This is the American dream. That's not true. We like to say it is. Hey, work really hard and everything that you want, you can get. No, if I was 5'5", 110, Could I be a linebacker for the football team? No chance. I would get run over and buried alive just by their fat, right? That's the truth. God has given us gifts and talents. We just got to find them. We got to ask for Jesus. And as we ask for Jesus, he will show us how to find those gifts and talents in him. He teaches us what to seek for as we seek him. There are moments in our lives where it's very difficult, right, to ask and to seek him. There have been times these past 2 years where I've been on a roller coaster. Just, I don't want to call it depression, but somewhat like that. Just like my emotions, just like this. You know, I left a church that I really love, left people that I really love to come here to Georgia. And as I came, the pandemic happened. And then, you know, I found a job at Chick-fil-A, absolutely hated it, loved the food, just hated working there. And, you know, just my faith was going up and down, up and down, up and down. And my home life was up and down, up and down. I was just, Morgan would be like, what's wrong? I was like, I don't know. I just, just feel like this. Blah. And there was a time where I just was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And the cool thing about what God does is, he was teaching me, like, so I'm like literally learning this with you, is like, ask for him. And seek him. You know, last week we talked, I shared that this is a church I've been at. And for the last however many years I've been in ministry, I've dealt with more deaths here than I've ever have. And God was like, look, you know, like you might not have all the answers. You don't need all the answers. You might not know what to say. That's okay. Just pray for God's presence. Pray for my presence. Ask for me. And so I'm asking God for him. In every situation, God, I just want you to be here right now with me. Why? Because I know who God is. I know that when I ask for God, I'll get his holiness. When I ask for God, I'll get his righteousness. When I ask for God, I'll get his love, his peace, his comfort. I'll get his strength, his courage. I'll get his freedom. I'll get refuge. I'll get all these things because God is so good. God loves me and he hears me when I ask for him. And so I begin to ask for him. And I'm like, okay, God. And then I start seeking for him. Moments with him. Yesterday I had a moment with my little girl. So we put her down. And she sometimes like wakes up in the middle of the night and just goes berserk. I'm just a brand new dad. But this has never happened with Cruz. But she just, wah! Wah! And I'm like, is she okay? Well, Morgan's like that. She's like, she okay? I'm like, yeah, she's fine. And then it's like for 10 minutes, you know, we're like, 10 minutes have gone by. Like, don't think we're bad parents. This is what the book says, all right? So we're just following the rules. All right, so we're just like, all right. And then Morgan's like, goes in there, and she's still crying. And then I come in there, and I hold her, and she stops. Daddy girl, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, so like, yesterday she started crying, and I would hold her, and she stopped crying. You know, she sucked her two fingers right here. She's just, and then I'd be like, okay, she's asleep. So I go over there to the crib, and I'm like, you know, you have to be super skilled here. You're just like, right? Close the door. I picked her up and I just started asking God for him. It's like, God, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I just want to watch TV. And I'm like, God, just be with her. Comfort her. I know she doesn't understand right now, but just be with her. May she know that you're with her right now. And be with me. And I was saying that, he was just saying, enjoy this moment. Enjoy it. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But when are you going to hold your baby girl like this again? When are you going to be able to do this? Because Cruz, that kid, I try to cuddle with him. He's like, get out of here, daddy. Like, come on, man. And it goes by so fast. And as I was seeking him in that moment, he was just revealing his goodness to me. He was giving me strength. He was giving me compassion. He was giving me a gentle heart. He was giving me everything I needed for that moment just to love on my baby girl. And I just sat there. I mean, stood there and rocked her. And I didn't want the moment to end no more. I mean, she's about to be one. She's about to be walking, and she's going to be three, and then she's going to be running around like Cruz and going crazy. And that's what we need to share with everyone around us. When we ask for something, we don't ask in Jesus' name. We ask for Jesus. When we ask for Jesus, then he teaches us what to seek for. Jesus. We seek Jesus. And as we seek Jesus, we see his goodness, his mercy, his love, his compassion, his strength, his refuge, his freedom. We see everything we need in him. I know people have dealt with passing. I know people are dealing with parents and sicknesses in this building or with people that you know. Ask for Jesus for them. Ask that they seek Jesus. This might seem a little too much, but I'm just going to say it. Instead of asking for healing, you ask for Jesus. Instead of asking for healing, you ask for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is healer. So you're already asking for it, but you're asking for Jesus in their life. You're asking for Jesus for their salvation, for grace, for freedom, for whatever is bounding them. You're asking for Jesus for them. And as you ask for them, ask Jesus, can they seek you? Because as they seek him, they seek his healing. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. If we look at all the healings that Jesus did, right? He healed people. We want to experience that. Like, I would love to do that. Like, we prayed for Morgan's grandfather. He had cancer, and we prayed for healing, and he don't have cancer anymore, and that's awesome. But I know there are some people that pray for healing from cancer, and they don't get healed. And it's like a double-edged sword. But what if we prayed for Jesus for both? And in that, they both got healed spiritually. Spiritually. Look at all the healings that Jesus did. I bet you it was more spiritual than it was physical. They realized who he was. And as they realized who he was, they were healed spiritually. Some got healed physically, which is great. But what if we thought about other people and their spiritual life, the eternal life? We've been thinking too much physical, which is great. We want people to be healed physical. I'm not saying don't pray for that. But what if we pray for Jesus for them and they would be healed spiritually? And if God heals them physically, man, even better. But we have to ask, and we have to seek, and we have to be reminded as we ask and we seek, we still have to deny ourselves. We still have to carry a cross, and we still have to follow Jesus. We still have to follow Jesus. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Knock for Jesus, and the goodness of God will be open to you. Knock for him, and open, and grace will be open to you. Knock for him, and mercy will be open to you. Knock for him, and purpose will be open to you. Knock for him, and thanksgiving will be open to you. Knock for him, and humility will be open to you. Knock for him, and truth will be open to you. As we knock, we have to remember, are we following Jesus? That's the question. Are we following Jesus? Because if we're following Jesus, we're carrying a cross. If we're following Jesus, we're denying ourselves. And if we're following Jesus, we know to ask for him and seek him and knock for him. Faith is a gift. Grace is a gift. Mercy is a gift. And we can receive that if we follow Jesus and learn how to deny ourselves and carry our cross. And this is what I'm asking for you guys, and I'm asking for myself, that we would ask for Jesus. Because as we ask for Jesus, we begin to know who Jesus is. We begin to receive who Jesus is. We begin to accept who Jesus is. We begin to live like Jesus. Ask for Jesus, and you will receive his mercy, his grace, his power, his courage, his holiness, his righteousness, his freedom. All of Jesus. Let us as a church ask for Jesus and show the world that prayer is powerful. Prayer is what we need. It's no longer, oh, prayers and thoughts. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the power of God. And we're going to believe in that power of God. And whether God answers our prayer or not, we believe in the goodness of God. We know people are broken. We know politicians are broken. We know presidents are broken. We know our country's broken. We know other countries are broken. We're all broken in need of a Savior. And that's why we pray. No policy change, no law, no president, no nothing will heal the brokenness of our world. Only Jesus. And we got to live like that. Yes, let's go for policy change. Yes, let's vote for electives, but understand they are a human being and they are broken. We can be a church that votes. We can be a church that believes in the justice system. We can do that. But we are a church that believes first and foremost in Jesus. that He is our Redeemer, He is our King, He is our Lord, and what He says goes. We have hope that our world, our country, people can be healed. We believe it. We've been healed. We have confidence that Jesus will come back. We have confidence that we will have eternal life. We have all that. We need to share that and be okay if people don't accept what we believe. Jesus was. I'll end with this story. Jesus was on a boat. He goes across and he goes into this town, and there's this guy who's been cutting himself. He's chained. He's in the graveyard. And the guy that's demon-possessed comes to Jesus, bows down. He says, "What are you doing here, Jesus? Are you come to destroy us?" And he says, "What's your name?" He doesn't even answer his question. He just says, "What's your name?" He says, "Legion, for we are many." He's like, "Okay." And then Jesus says, "Hey, get out of there." He's like, hey, don't, can we just go to those pigs over there?" They're like, "Yeah, sure. All right." He's like, "Yeah, whatever. We'll do what you want," right? Like, you have no power, no authority, whatever. Just go to the pigs. They go to the pigs. Pigs fall down. The pig farmers, I guess, saw all this, and they ran into the town and told everybody, and everybody came, and they saw Jesus, and they're like upset, and they're like, "Go away, Jesus, go away, go away." He's like, "All right, I'm out." The guy that he heals, he says, "Jesus, let me follow you. Let me go with you." He says, "No, you stay here and tell what I have done for you. You stay here and tell what I've done for you." Man, from the whole beginning, we see Jesus start his ministry. He said, "Follow me, follow me, follow me. Yeah, come with me, come with me, come with me, come with me." And he says, "No, you stay here, you stay here." The best part is that he stays there. And he goes to the surrounding 10 cities declaring about Jesus. And people are getting saved and accepting Jesus. We are in a moment in time where people don't want nothing to do with our faith, don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Prayers and thoughts don't mean anything to them. What if he's looking at all of us saying, "You stay here and you go and you tell what Jesus has done for you to the surrounding cities and watch what God does in and through you. Because what we have gone through as a church, it's been difficult. It's been hard. It's been challenging, discouraging, and yet you're still here. And yet God is still faithful, and God is still good, and God is still providing, and God's still keeping his promise, and he's saying, "Hey, look, I see all the pain and the suffering you've gone through. I know you asked for something and maybe not have received it. But look, I'm giving you my presence. And as I give you my presence, I give you comfort and blessings and favor and joy and peace and strength and courage to keep doing a good work. Keep fighting the good fight. Prayer does work. Has worked, will work, will always work. Our God is so good. Our God is all-knowing, all-powerful. And if we pray for him, Miracles will happen. His faithfulness, His Holy Spirit will come upon us, and we will see the goodness of God, not just here in this building, but in our cities. Because guess what? He has called us to go and tell of Him, to go and shout and say, our God is so good. He so loved us that He gave His one and only Son. For you and for me, whoever believes, if you believe, you will have eternal life. We have eternal life. So let us go to Him, deny ourselves, and carry our cross, and do a good work. We have a good work to do. See these chairs? We need not to pray for people to fill them. Pray that God would allow us to love people enough that they would come. That we would love them in such a way that they would receive Christ. We would follow Jesus in such a way that they would receive Christ. Knock, seek, and ask for Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your discipline. Thank you for your strength and your courage. God, we just ask for you. And as we ask for you, we know we're asking for. And we know what we receive. We'll receive your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your strength and your power. So God, we ask for you. We ask to seek you. We ask to knock for you. May we rest in that, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to go into a time where we take communion. And as we take communion, be reminded. You can receive all of who God is when you ask for Him. As you take the bread and the juice, you receive the cross to carry, the cross that Jesus died on. As you take the bread and the juice, you receive His resurrection power and His purpose for your life. And so, as you get ready, celebrate that. I know it can be a somber moment, but we can celebrate what we have when we take that bread and that juice. We can celebrate the freedom that God gave us, the joy, the grace, and the mercy. And so, you can come up if you need any assistance with one. Just raise your hand and we'll bring it to you. Other than that, you can take communion.